Good morning, Melissa. Let's get started. Your previous guest was very diplomatic. This is a day of shame for Jacksonville, for Florida, and for the United States judicial system. This stand your ground is a license for grumpy old white men like me to pull out guns and shoot people. And what? Let's leave the trailer park racist behind, that guy. What about that woman who says she's annoyed by black teenagers? Somehow it was so interesting to see the conversation. It segued away from the fact that an innocent young man with his whole life ahead of him was shot dead for no reason in a gas station, and he was let off on that jury because one or more of those juries was not in any way going to vote to convict a white man. And that's what it comes down to. Now, in my history of Florida, I was at Olustee yesterday. And one of the things
the Civil War commemoration.
That's right. Today, this month, is the 150th anniversary of what's supposed to be a great victory for the Confederate forces in Florida. That is a lie. It was the greatest massacre of the Civil War. And General Beauregard was disgusted by the Confederate behavior. And he wrote to Jefferson Davis, this victory, which is celebrated every year, was insignificant because of the failure to pursue the Union forces, who, by the way, a lot of them were Southerners, Loyalists, not Yankees. And the reason, I'm not allowed to use the N-word on here, but when somebody was asked, field officers, why weren't they advancing, they said, because we're killing you-know-what. It was one of the great massacres of the war. And what happens a generation later, 3 years later, the Confederate dead were respectfully buried. There, to this day, there is a monument honoring their supposed valor. The bodies were left to rot there, and a guy came back, and pigs left by DeSoto were digging them up, rooting around. And this is going, to this day, the bodies of the valiant U.S. troops who were massacred at Olustee have not been retrieved.
The controversy goes on because there's an effort to place an obelisk at Olustee to memorialize the Union soldiers who died. The Sons of Confederate Veterans is opposing that. The legislature has to now decide that. So here we are, 150 years later, still fighting this.
Yes. And now how does this link up to like that nice lady who called in and said, instead of concentrating on the fact that an innocent youth had been murdered in the city where she lived, she said, well, they're around and they play loud music and it makes me nervous. Let me say something. We're all racist. By racist, I mean our lives are inflected with racism, the great original sin, two original sins of America, the near genocide of the Indians and slavery. I live in New York. I live in France. I live in Miami Beach. I'm a native-born Floridian, so I don't want anybody calling in and saying I'm an outsider. If I see three or four black kids walking down the street, I cross the street. I have that same visceral fear. I'm ashamed of it, but I'll tell you that it's the truth. And we don't have the right to kill people who make us nervous. And this Stand Your Ground law is a racist law. It's the update of the black codes. And I'll tell you something else about
explain what you mean by that.
The black codes were enacted after the Civil War, and they basically restored slavery in all but name. What happened was there was not true emancipation after the Civil War. A reporter for the Wall Street Journal, no less, called what happened the restoration of slavery in all but name. The difference was the masters were no longer in charge of controlling the black population. The state assumed that responsibility. So I spent some of my youth in Palm Beach. I'm old enough to remember the colored water fountains. I remember when all black people had to be off Palm Beach by sunset. And so you had all these black codes, and I will give credit to the legislature and the Republican leaders in the legislature. Several years ago, they passed a formal act of apology for slavery. And as they pointed out, the form of slavery practiced in Florida was one of the most vicious. Penalties, they could nail a slave's ear to a plank. And this I get from the state legislature. I'm not making this up.
What would you say, though, to those, and the polling reflects this, the majority of Floridians feel the Stand Your Ground law is appropriate, and they do not believe that it unfairly favors white shooters.
I have a very clear answer to that. I said you're living in a world of illusion, and the reason you're afraid, The reason is that you live in a society drunk on violence that believes killing people is a solution. And I have a solution for every person in Florida, all nearly 20 million, and that is to buy my book, Finding Florida, The True History of the Sunshine State,
now,
and assimilate what it has to say.
In this book, you debunk a lot of myths, not just Florida's horrifically painful racial past, which has been papered over. You talk about a lot of other myths, such as Ponce de Leon didn't find Florida first.
Well, this gets right into the... Melissa has a memory, and she's actually read my book, rare with an interviewer.
There are so many myths about this state.
Well, you know, Florida's history really began here in Jacksonville, not at St. Augustine, and there was no fountain of youth. The Spanish had tried to colonize Florida a number of times, and it swallowed up colonizers. King Philip II banned colonization. He said, think of this, Jacksonville. Her soils are too sandy and her harbors too shallow to admit a profitable settlement, and he banned it. That was till they found the French had found a settlement on the St. John's estuary. By the way, the St. John's is not a river, but we can get into that on another program. So as soon as they heard that became the Cuban Missile Crisis in reverse 450 years before it, 350 years. I didn't major in arithmetic at either Oxford or Harvard, but anyway, a long time later. So this guy Menendez de Avilés tore across the Atlantic Ocean. He massacred the French. And it was the worst, it created the same sort of scandal in Europe. Let me say one thing to our foreign listeners, and you'll be listening. If you think Florida's racist, it is racist. And let me say something to you, Florida. If you don't want, we don't have a public relations problem here, which is how Florida always treats these things. Florida has a reality problem, which is that you can kill people with impunity in this state. So let's just get off on that. So he came up, he killed all the French. And as I say, in a chapter called The Fort, Not the Fountain. If you look at the fountain, everything is this funny series of bizarre pythons, kids getting shot in gas stations. If you look at the fort, which the Spanish built at St. Augustine, you have a coherent series of events, largely violent, having to do with big power conflicts, leading all the way up to the Cuban Missile Crisis in the present.
Of course, the Huguenots came ashore in Arlington. Linda in East Arlington is on the line. Hi, Linda. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. I just wanted to call in, and I think I've got a stake in this conversation in that I am a descendant. And, I mean, this will be backed up by the Catholic Church and St. Augustine and the Historical Society. We're the oldest Spanish or European family.
You are indeed.
That's lived here since the very beginning. Now, I don't dispute everything he's saying, but he has a twisted way of presenting history. And I will tell you, I am involved in my own research, and I've gone to a lot of seminars. And the historians here in St. Augustine, including Dr. Lyons, who I heard him refer to an article that backed him up, they do not back up all of his interpretations. It's not that he's completely wrong. But when
have you read my book?
I have. All I have done is...
Well, why don't you read my book?
And yeah, but I can just...
You can't. You cannot until you read my book.
And Linda, I appreciate you calling. Now, let me ask you about that, TD. Mm-hmm. When Finding Florida was published, some academics took issue with some of the findings in your book. What about that?
Well, there was Professor Glenda Gilmore at Yale who said it was a vital... advance in our understanding of the South. There's Professor Cantor Brown, who's written two histories of Tampa and has written a biography of the great Ossian Hart, a forgotten hero of Jacksonville. He said it was the best book on Florida. Kirkus Books said it's one of the best history nonfiction books of the last 12 months. My book, Finding Florida, The True History of the Sunshine State, was a finalist for the National Book Award this year.
There were some critics.
I think
of your
have been two, and I have not had any. I have not read a single article that had anything to do with actually disproving what I said. In fact, it's very odd they don't ask. But let me tell you the difference. I do not deny the tragic nature of history, and that's what makes my history different. And you see, if you don't, if you accept this tragic nature, this unfortunate situation where we are right now regarding this latest event, it fits into the picture. If we refuse to look at the tragic nature of history, we remain disabused. I would say to the lady who called, congratulations, the people who are now called the Menorcans are the first people of European origin who rightfully can call themselves true Floridians.
That's true. And there's so much more that you get into in this book. And so this is just a short preview of your talk tonight at the Bookmark on First Street in Neptune Beach. You'll also be speaking tomorrow night on the UNF campus. This is a free, these are both free events at the UNF Student Union Auditorium. Always fascinating to speak with you. We thank you for being here.
It's always an honor to be here in Jacksonville with you. Thank you very much.